to share. If you got some shy siblings that didn't want to come up, you can take one for them. Luke chapter 2, thank you, is what we're looking at this morning. And it's a very familiar story, but it's a story that's worth revisiting again. Of course, Luke is all about, if you could summarize Luke, I think a good way to go is Jesus Christ came in the world, into this world to save sinners. And wow, we see that right out of the chute as we hear the story of the birth of Jesus Christ. So beginning at verse 8 of Luke chapter 2. There were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. But an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angel had left them and had gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her hearts. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which they had been told. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. A few years ago already, in 2015, Pixar came out with a movie. Remember that movie? It was called Inside Out. And it was all about five key emotions: joy, sadness, anger, fear, and disgust. I don't know if you knew this, kind of a fun fact is originally when they were trying to write this story, they had 20 emotions. And if any of you have ever read the monkey books about the grumpy monkey, you realize there are a lot of emotions that we have. There's a range of emotions that go on. Now, emotions are strong feelings that come from deep inside of us. They're kind of like, if you would say, uninvited guests. They just sort of show up and express themselves. And we say, like, well, where did that come from? I don't know. It was just there. Sometimes we try to stimulate certain emotions, right? We look at Hallmark movies. We see comedy. We see scary movies. We see sad movies. To try to understand emotions, the American Psychology Association goes a bit deeper. I don't know if this will be helpful for you, but I just kind of Googled it, and this came up, a definition of emotions. It's a complex reaction pattern involving experiential, behavioral, psychological elements by which an individual attempts to deal with personal, significant matters or events. There's your source. Look it up if you want to. Well, I was reading Bob Lapine. He's an announcer on the radio station 88.1. And he tells of how Dr. Gillum, he's a psychology professor to college students, and as he's trying to explain to them how emotions work. He says it this way. All of us navigate life using our mind, our will, and our emotions. So our thinkers, our doers, and our feelers. And we respond to whatever we experience based on what our brains tell us. Now, let me spell this out for you. I'm going somewhere with this for sure. But you imagine you're walking along in the woods somewhere. Just imagine your favorite strand of woods. And suddenly you come across a grizzly bear. And your thinker starts telling you, well, bears live in the woods. They forage for food. They eat people. I am a person. I'm going to be eaten by a bear. So your feeler responds right away with fear, anxiety, and panic, and everything inside of you wants to run. And you're thinking, and so that feeler part of you is knocking on the door of your doer and trying to get your legs to start running. And then suddenly you're reminded of an article that you read in a website that said running is not the right thing to do right now. In fact, what you should do is stay calm, be as large as you can be, and don't make any noise. Now, as there's a battle going on inside of you, right? If you're here right now, it's like your thinker is telling your doer one thing and your doer is ready to go, but your emotions don't know what to do. They're not always reliable. They're mostly good, but they need to be managed, right? So you can see how, like, two-year-olds, all due respect to you who are two-year-olds here today, don't always know how to manage their emotion. They can go from being really happy to being really sad at the most inopportune times. Well, what's the other extreme of that? It could be like Dr. Spock or Mr. Spock on Star Trek. He has no feelings or emotions whatsoever. He'd be fine in this forest with a grizzly bear in front of him. But can you imagine Mr. Spock on Christmas Day or an exciting event? No emotional response at all, no reaction to anything. Christmas would be just another day. He doesn't have any uninvited guests showing up in his heart and life. How sad that would be. Emotions are so important, and we see it here in this story. There's an unexpected encounter that the shepherds have. They're just out doing what shepherds do, the routine of their ordinary everyday life. Nothing special about shepherds. They kind of represent all of us in the normal pattern of our everyday life, just doing day in and day out what we always do. They happen to be keeping watch over sheep day and night. I wonder why God picked them to be the first to hear the announcement of the most amazing birth in the universe. Truth be known, as you think about the Christmas story, there are relatively few people that were privy to this information. In Luke already, we read about Zechariah, we read about Elizabeth and Mary. We see these shepherds later on. There's going to be some wise people that follow a star, and they're guided to a place. Simeon, Anna. And now the shepherds are in on the news. Extraordinary news that came into their ordinary, everyday lives. J.B. Phillips, I love his translation where he said, suddenly, now there you are, you're calm, and all of a sudden, suddenly, something bigger than a grizzly bear, some more terrifying than anything you can imagine, appeared before them. The glory of the Lord blazed around them, and they were terror-stricken. Those of you who grew up with the ASV and the old King James Version, you remember the words. They were sore afraid, petrified. It's not just these shepherds that are petrified. If you look at the Bible, even the holiest person, when they encounter a representative of the Lord and brush up against the glory of God, is terrified. That will be you, that will be me, as we encounter the Lord. Our first reaction will not be like, oh, hey, I'm so glad to see you. Our first reaction would be like Isaiah said, woe to me, I am dead, I am undone, for I am an unclean person. Well, that's the emotion there. They had every reason to be terrified. Everything inside of them must have been screaming, run! But they're paralyzed with fear. And yet, the angel wasn't here to pronounce judgment, to tell them how bad they are and they need to repent. No, this glorious announcement is a joyful message. Here's their message. Do not be afraid. I am bringing you good news of great joy that is going to drop right in on you and regulate that fear emotion that you have so that you can transition that into joy, great joy. And what's the good news? A Savior has been born to you. We need to hear that in our ordinary, everyday life. It's plural. It's not just you, one person, you group. This is for all people that's going to be good news. A Savior is born for you. Now, parents, you may know that if you are celebrating a birthday with a child, if you have multiple children, a child celebrating a birthday, and the other sibling says, how come Joey is getting all the presents? What do you say? Because it's Joey's birthday today. It's not your birthday. See, we direct specific gifts to specific individuals for specific reasons. And the angel tells these lowly shepherds that a Savior is born for you. A specific gift for you. A Savior has been born. Those last two words to you get repeated later on. This will be a sign to you. We all know what that sign was. Luke summarizes Jesus' birth so succinctly. He doesn't give us much information about the birth. Just, it was time to give birth. Mary gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That's the birth announcement right there that Luke gives. No other detail about how this baby was born to divert our attention, only what's necessary for us to understand the good news. If you are familiar with Luke, he's going to do this again at the end of Jesus' life. He doesn't give us a whole-blown Mel Gibson understanding of the death of Jesus Christ in every blow and detail along the way. This is how Luke summarizes Jesus' death. And he hung on the cross between two thieves. He died. A sign. A sign points to something. An arrow to show us the way. What did the sign of the baby in the manger point to? There is so much wrapped up in this here one sentence. The name David is invoked. This child, the arrow is pointing, is going to be a king like David, like promised to David. He is a Savior, like the one who redeemed God's people from the Egyptian slavery which bound them for centuries. He's the Messiah. He's the Lord. He's no ordinary child. He's royal. He's godlike. He's something this world has never experienced before. That if you get into his presence, you too would be terrified and sore afraid. And yet, what do we see about the baby? Wrapped in cloth, lying in a manger. The humblest of all births ever. There we have it. The truth, before the truth of this message sinks in, here is 100% God, 100% man. And before the shepherds can even process the message, a great company of heavenly hosts joined in proclaiming the first Christmas doxology. I would almost say, Jacob, play that again. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Peace.
Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. Amen.
There it is. Pax hominibus bone voluntatis. That's my little attempt. I feel like I'm Latin now that I went to Debbie's concert. I can speak Latin now suddenly. Peace, unusual kindness. That's what God has for us. It's a shalom, the way things should be, and it's lavished on God's sheepish people and all people everywhere. Teachers, students, truck drivers, factory workers, professors, nurses, farmers, rich, poor, middle class, everyone needs to hear this message of great joy. The good news is ringing out for all of us to hear. And yet it's not a message that's received by all. It's only on those to whom on whom God's favor rests. A child has been born to you. God didn't have to do this, but he did. And how do these terrified shepherds now respond? It's very worshipful. It's a worshipful response. They searched for and found the child born for them. There's something interesting going on here. Their fear was replaced with an overwhelming emotion to run to Bethlehem and see this sign and meet this baby born for them. And so in 2 verse 16 we read, they hurried to Bethlehem and found Mary and Joseph and the baby just as they had been told. If you find something, that means you had to search for it. Again, Luke is summarizing something. There's so much more going on there. They found. That means they probably had to go to Bethlehem and start asking around. And then finally, they came to what they were looking for. See, what you have to realize, these shepherds now just left their 99 sheep to go find this one lamb who they did not know was the very lamb who left the splendor of his heaven to find ordinary people like you, like me, so that he could rescue them and carry them home. That's a good news. The baby drew them. The shepherds confirm the message of the angels. Heaven has come to us. I ask all of us gathered here today, what keeps you and I from hearing that message? I think probably pride blinds us to the truth. Pride makes us say, we don't need this. It's not for us. Are you ready to accept the gracious invitation? Come to Bethlehem and see him whose birth the angels proclaimed. Come adore on bended knees. I am told, I think those of you, how many of you have been to the Church of the Nativity in Bethlehem? Okay, you can confirm if I'm telling the truth. They say that if you go into that church that has now been built on the traditional site, you cannot get down into that place unless you bow very low. I think it's a beautiful picture. I've not been there, but it moves us to ask, am I ready to humble myself? See, you ordinary people living our ordinary everyday lives, just doing what we do every day, going to school, making breakfast, having lunch, working, coming back home, sleeping, our ordinary life. Am I willing, like those shepherds, to search for that Savior, to confirm the sign, and to humbly bow down before him? Check your fear. Let the good news lead you. Let it lead us. Let it lead us to Bethlehem, where we find the eternal God in the flesh, majesty and meekness in perfect harmony has come to earth. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Lord, reassure us that we have nothing to fear if we live in your presence and do your will. You have promised never to leave us or forsake us if we come to you. Give us all the help we will need today to be like the shepherds who hear the good news, check their fear, obey your word, search for Jesus, find him, and then share everything that we have heard and seen with others, all the while glorifying you, because only you can make this possible. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. We live our ordinary everyday life, and so has all of God's people throughout the ages as we prepare to take the next step. And we're actually going to recreate in our own way what the shepherds encountered.